Chapter 1. The Death of a Prince. The guilt Thostas Bladestorm felt for spending the last days of his mortal life away from home had never left him. Not through his first reforging, nor through his second. No number of rebirths could purge such regret from a man's soul. When the cause was lost to him, the guilt stayed, a distillate of pain. Forever it was his spur, his strength and his weakness. One last time Thostos relived the moments of his first death as Prince Chiron, in light and pain, when he was reborn at the God King's behest. This is how he remembered it. Then. Warm winds sang through the pass of unnumbered birds. Scent is the key to memory, and the smell of the place was the last thing that Thostos forgot. In later days, when many lifetimes had passed him by, he would catch a reminder of it and search his broken memories for a full recollection. Alas, he would always be frustrated. The strongest above all was the sharp smell of the birds themselves. Many nests crowded the cliffs either side of the narrow road, their guano streaking the rocks. There were other, subtler smells beneath that rich stink. The wind ran over the plains to the mountains, all the way from the distant sea. Even in the high mountains there was saltiness upon the wind still. This too Thostos remembered, and the blood and the ash that had come to taint it. On that last day, the mountains preserved the semblance of peace. There the land seemed as it always had, as wild and free as any place in Amkash before the coming of chaos. To return to the mountains from the hell of the lowlands lifted the heart, even that of Prince Chiron, who would be Thostos, for he was burdened with many worries. But on that day he breathed free, clean air, and returned home in victory. Secured to the flank of his horse was a bloody sack. Within languished the head of Sur Jaktyr, great lord of chaos and reaver of the 16 cities. His sharpened teeth would never again bite into flesh, and his golden eyes would see no more atrocity wrought in his name. Silver thread bound the sack shut, keeping the dead lord's evil from corrupting the one who carried it. It was a successful hunt, enough to make Chiron forget for a moment the horrors of the world. He was accompanied by Tarm, his childhood friend. No matter what evil they faced together, always they came back side by side. As was Tarm's habit, he goaded his prince for sport as they rode. "My father says to me that the duty of an heir is to remain at home and learn the ways of governance. And yet here you are, riding out on the hunt." Chiron laughed, though there was annoyance in it. "And what would your father have me do? Work the fields and build terraces?" "Well, I would," said Tarm. The pass was narrow, little more than a gully, and their voices echoed from the sides. Sunlight cut down from blue skies that were still untouched by the bruises of chaos. The shadows of crags divided the rocky landscape into patches of delicious heat and pleasing cool. "Ask your father how I can remain at home when evil brings all good things low, and every month sees another city razed to the ground. 10 years ago, my father said that we would be safe within our valley, that the warding hounds of Garma would keep us safe, that chaos—" "Shh," Tarm said. Chiron dropped his voice. "What?" Tarm's eyes were fixed upon the sky. Chiron raised his own gaze.
"I see no birds," said Tarm.
The skies were empty. There was no sign of any birds at all. Without exchanging a word, the warriors spurred their horses into a gallop. Their steeds were born for the rough terrain of the mountains, and picked their path without faltering, haring along the rough road as sure-footed as goats. Soon enough they rounded the kink in the valley where it opened onto the great glen of the wolf.
"Smoke!"
called Tarm. He slowed and stood in his stirrups for a better view. Chiron thundered past him.
"Wait, Chiron!"
Tarm shouted.
"Be careful!"
But Chiron did not heed him. His stomach churned with sickening dread, an utter conviction that the worst had happened and that his life was over. The mountainside curved away, the glen broadened, and Wolf Keep, seat of Guild King Glothian's power, came into view. The keep was set high on the mountain, backed onto a soaring crag so that it looked out over the wide grazing lands of the glen. The Wool Guild's isolation had been its salvation. The mountain walls that yielded such meagre crops barred the advance of chaos, and Glothian had kept the clans of his guild safe, once from the great and terrible beasts of Amkash, and later against the depredations of hell-spawned monsters. That is, until then. Chiron galloped past a burning cottage. The corpses of the farmers were pegged outside its blackened walls, cruelly mutilated. Hayricks blazed. Smoke rose from every building in the valley, thick over the four villages and thickest over Wolf Keep. Fire licked from the windows of his home, black fumes pouring from the roof. He did not need to ride any closer to be able to see what the pale bundles hanging from the walls were.
No!
Screamed Chiron. He spurred his horse harder, foam frothing at its mouth. The steed's flanks were lathered with sweat, but he did not relent. The sky rumbled. A thunderhead was building over the mountains, black and heavy as an anvil. He came across the first warband minutes later, a motley collection of beast folk and savage tribesmen. They sat in the ruins of a hamlet around a fire of broken timbers, gorging on the flesh of innocents. The beast folk were drunk, butting bloodied horns with each other. The men laughed bitter, empty laughs, the humour of the desperate and the insane. Without thinking, Chiron drew his sword and rode at them. The first man turned at the thunder of his approach, only to die with his skull split open. Another pair were barged aside by the weight of Chiron's horse, weapons falling from limp fingers. Others flung themselves aside. A beast man lunged for his reins. Chiron reared his horse, its hooves crushing the head of the creature. A second beast man ran at him, head bowed to impale his horse upon sharp horns, but Chiron cut it down and it died with a gurgling bleat. Chiron wheeled his horse round and lashed out at another of the children of chaos, but the impetus of his charge was spent, and the creature parried his blow with a maul of bloody iron. His horse's breath came raggedly, exhausted. The animal was close to blown. The men and beast men were gathering around him, a circle of brutal, shouting faces that kept out of the reach of his sword. A huge, muscled creature, with the head of a goat, pushed its way forward and thrust its spear deep into the horse's breast. With a scream, the horse reared up and toppled over, and Chiron was thrown free. He rolled, and an axe buried itself into the ground where his head had been. He sprang to his feet, driving his blade up to the hilt in a beastman's gut. It screamed in Chiron's face as it died, and he snatched out his sword before the creature fell down. Its fellows hesitated. Chiron did not.
"Vengeance! Vengeance! Vengeance!"
he cried, and leapt among them, slaying all who came close. The sky was clouding over rapidly, pregnant with the promise of rain. Then Tarm was there, bursting through the crowd on his horse and sending them down hard. He cut at the warband with his sword, slaying two and scattering the rest, then brought his horse to a staggering halt and held out his hand.
"Get up behind me! There are hundreds coming!"
The beastmen and tribesmen lay dead or dying. One man pawed ineffectually at his ruined throat, attempting to stem the flood of blood. Chiron scanned the destruction, everywhere he looked revealing a new horror. He screwed his eyes shut at the sight of the torn corpses. Thunder sounded closer.
"It's going to rain," Chiron said.
"Get up!"
shouted Tarm, looking behind his friend and beckoning again frantically. An awful bleating roar brought Chiron out of his fugue. Through the burning cottages of the hamlet strode a great beast lord, half as tall as Chiron again. In clumsy fingers it gripped an axe shaft as thick as Chiron's thigh, the blunt head atop it dark with gore. It wore a mask of pale leather over its animal face, and a shallow helm covered its low skull. A dirty black and white crest rose from this between two pairs of horns. The first pair curved around its cheeks like a ram's horns, while the second pair stood upright. These were sharp as scimitars and dripped with blood. Crude mail studded with roundels and square plates protected its torso. Its hooves were shod with spiked iron, but its arms and the legs were unprotected, a sign of its confidence in its own might, perhaps. There were few who could hope to survive its ire.
Chiron!
Shouted Tom.
No, no, said Chiron. I will not run while our kinsfolk lie dead and defiled.
He raised his sword in a double-handed grip and prepared to meet the creature's charge. Tom swore and charged past his friend, his horse leaping over the corpses of the fallen. His sword sang through the air, but the Beast Lord was swift. It stepped aside, punching Tom's steed with a huge fist. Hefting its axe, it swung hard at the reeling horse, a woodsman's chop that half severed the head. A tremendous spray of blood fountained from the horse's neck, and it fell sideways heavily, trapping Tom beneath. The Beast Lord raised its axe again, aiming for Tom's head. Chiron screamed and ran, swinging his sword with all his strength at the creature's unprotected thigh. His blade bit deep, but the creature did not appear to feel the wound, and twisted its massive body to intercept the prince. A swipe from its arm caught him in the chest and knocked him back 6 feet to crash into a cart. He flipped over the back, landing in the offal of slaughtered farmers. Chiron scrambled to his feet, barely keeping his revulsion in check. His sword he held ready. The Beast Lord only smiled, thick lips parting around the flat, square teeth of a grazing animal stained pink with blood. It blew out a steaming huff of breath. Red eyes glowed with menace, and it laughed, a bleating corruption of human joy. But the beast thing was mistaken if it thought to kill another brave guildsman defending his home from the tide of chaos. This was a prince before him, a mighty warrior, sworn to protect his father's people to the last, and he was wild with vengeance. Lightning flashed, whiting out the valley. The beast lifted its axe and charged at Chiron. The prince waited for his moment, stepping aside and backward at the last possible second, and extended his sword to take the creature in the chest. The momentum of the beast forced the weapon's point through its armor and deep into its chest just below the heart. Chiron's sword was wrenched painfully from his hand as the Beast Lord stumbled past him, its axe biting into a splintered timber. It shook its head and turned again, unaware that it was already dead. One step it came on, then another. The Beast Lord groggily raised its axe. Dark blood pumped from the wound. The creature never made the blow, but fell forward dead. Chiron ran to Tom. His friend was badly hurt. Blood leaked from the corner of his mouth.
"You killed it," he croaked.
"It is dead," said Chiron. "If it weren't for you, I'd be dead."
"As always," said Tom.
The blood coming from his mouth was pink and bubbled. His breath was short and he struggled to speak.
"But no more, my friend. Crushed by my own horse. Not the heroic end I had intended."
"I'll get you out from under him," said Chiron, trying to reassure his companion. But he could see no way to move the horse, pinning Tom.
"You'll do no such thing. Get out of here.
Get away now. If Wolf Keep has fallen, it will not be long until all of Amkash is overrun.
Live as long as you can. Make them pay for their crimes."
A fat drop of rain fell onto the back of Chiron's hand. Then another and another. They spattered all over Tom's face. He closed his eyes and smiled.
"See, Chiron, there is some purity left. For once the water is sweet."
Chiron stood. Rain sheeted down. A blazing bolt of lightning cracked the sky. Thunder boomed. Shouts and the gruntings of beastmen came through the downpour. They approached him from all sides. He stood over the body of his friend and shouted out a challenge.
"If I am to die, let it be well."
The foes of all that was good and right drew around, none daring to be the first. Chiron stared at them, smiling wildly.
"Give me strength, great Sigma."
There was more lightning and another peal of thunder, deafening now. The storm was directly overhead.
"Lend me your might. If you can still hear me,
If you care still for the lives and deeds of mortal men, then grant me as much of your power as you might spare, so that I may be avenged upon the slayers of my folk, that I might kill them, and never rest, not until every last drop of chaos-ruined blood has been spilt and washed away from the soil of Amkash by clean rains. I do not ask to be saved. I do not plead for my life. I ask only for strength. I ask only to be avenged.
He raised his bloodied sword to the sky, kissed the guard, and prepared to die. The horde of men and twisted monsters charged as one. A blazing spear of light lanced down from the sky, pure and dazzling. It connected with the tip of Chiron's sword, bathing the youth in a stark radiance that cut him into shapes of white and hard black shadow. The followers of Chaos were flung back by the blast, shrieking at the pain of the light. When they recovered themselves, they stood in amazement. A depression was smote into the land, charcoal black and steaming. Around it, twists of grass smoked in the rain. Of the prince, there was no sign.